This is a National Arts Center podcast. Find more great NAC podcasts on the performing arts at nacpodcast.ca or search on National Arts Center on iTunes and subscribe for free.
When we think about the main currents and influences of Western music over the last few hundred years, the most obvious places to start are Italy and Germany. Just think of the three B's, Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, and all the Italian composers since Monteverdi, whose names also end with the letter I. Lots of material for music collection there. It could be argued that, broadly speaking, the German tradition dominates the symphonic form, the Italian tradition dominates the vocal operatic form, and that the other European countries, France, Russia, England, and the rest, have absorbed and modified the German and Italian traditions into styles of music that are recognizably French, Russian, and English, or Czech, or Norwegian for that matter. Compare the symphonies of Brahms and Tchaikovsky, or French and Italian opera. Elgar is sometimes described as the English Brahms, but if you compare their symphonies and choral works, the differences are immediately obvious. So how does Spain fit into this discussion? Well, just name a well-known Spanish symphony. A bit difficult. How about a famous Spanish opera? Carmen doesn't count, by the way, although it provides a clue as to where we're going. The great majority of Spanish music is based upon the song and the dance, and it seems to me that history and geography have a lot to do with the way music has developed in Spain and been exported to other parts of the world. Thanks to the Moorish invasions, the influence of Middle Eastern and North African music is stronger in Spain than in any other European country. The development of Renaissance sacred music in Spain was also considerable, because the powerful Roman Catholic presence there is second only to Italy's. Let's start at, or at least near, the beginning. Alfonso el Sabio, Alfonso the Wise, was born in 1221 and was king of Castile from 1252 until his death in 1284. Alfonso was a Renaissance man well before the Renaissance. He was a soldier, astronomer, poet, and musician, who wrote hundreds of songs, sacred and secular, in his own Castilian language. In his own person and career, he provides a template for the Spanish synthesis of external cultural influences. He encouraged and sponsored Jewish and Muslim scholars, and was instrumental in the replacement of Latin by Castilian as a language of the court. Apparently he wasn't very good at economics, but you can't have everything. As well as many other works, he wrote a collection of over 400 songs called Cantigas de Santa Maria, or Songs to the Virgin Mary. Here is one of them, Rose of Roses, sung by Spanish mezzo-soprano Teresa Berganza.
Thank you.
The style of the song is quite sparse, but doesn't sound specifically religious. It has an earthier, more emotional feel than the types of melodies that we associate with church music written during the Middle Ages. In fact, it sounds more like a folk song. To put it in clearer perspective, let's compare it to Pastorcito Santo, The Holy Shepherd, written by Rodrigo in the 20th century and performed here by Victoria de los Angeles and Gonzalo Soriano. The melody again is simple and introspective, and has the irregular phrasing of a medieval chant. Rodrigo's harmony defines it as a 20th century work, but I wonder what King Alfonso's melody would sound like given the same harmonic treatment. It's clear that the two melodies, written over 600 years apart, belong to the same tradition. Rodrigo's piano accompaniment is reminiscent of the guitar, which seems to be the instrument of choice for Spanish songs, past and present. Here's an anonymous 16th century example, Din Dirin Din, a wedding song that celebrates the communicative power of the nightingale. Again, we'll hear Teresa Braganza, this time accompanied by Narciso Yepes. Din dirin din dirin din dirin din dirin din dirin. Ding 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 This secular song has considerable rhythmic variety and is a good example of the combination of aria and dance music that was so popular in the Renaissance. The aria recitative style, combined with vigorous dance rhythms, was to become a major influence on Spanish song. It's too early to presume any flamenco effect on this particular song, but the gypsies brought their own distinctive styles, including flamenco, with its Hindu and Arabic influences, into Europe around this time. And the gypsy influence was most widespread in Spain. Spanish melodies always seem to provide a bit more emotional and dramatic content than the melodies that we hear from Italy, Germany, and France, although the songs of the Auvergne are good examples of the Moorish and gypsy influence in southern France. The Hungarian gypsy songs and dances that appear in Viennese operettas seem genteel in comparison. When the Spaniards moved into America, their music moved with them. And it's a remarkable fact that the music of South American composers was sophisticated and well-established hundreds of years before any corresponding development in North America, despite the many European cultural movements that found their way there. The Spanish-trained composers embraced the local culture whenever it seemed appropriate. In 1631, Juan Perez Bocanegra, based in Lima, Peru, published the first polyphonic music written in the Western Hemisphere. Moreover, the text is in the language of the Incas. Here is Hanak Pachap, performed by the Roger Wagner Chorale. Hanak Pachap kusi quini, waram kapta muchas kaiki, yuparu. Other powerful influences came from African slaves, who made up a huge percentage of the South and Central American population in the years after the Spanish conquest. Juan de Araujo, who lived and worked in Peru and Panama in the late 17th century, provides an excellent example of cultural cross-fertilization. Los Negritos reflects an almost Caribbean sense of joie de vivre, combined with typically Renaissance dance rhythms.
Oh, my God.
After hearing this piece, it's easy to imagine why Leonard Bernstein chose to explore the energetic Puerto Rican style with its humorous soloistic interjections for America in West Side Story. The alternating 6/8 and 3/4 time are typical Renaissance rhythmic devices. But I wonder if Bernstein knew that the Araujo had beaten him to it by a couple of centuries. I'd like now to play two versions of two different Spanish songs. The first, Adios Granada, is an excellent example of the flamenco tradition, with its florid and dramatic recitative style that allows for almost as much embellishment as the performer wishes. First, we'll hear Victoria de los Angeles, who announces the piece and accompanies herself on the guitar in her own arrangement. If the guitar and the castanets are the definitive Spanish instruments, the trumpet is close behind. Here is the Mexican trumpet virtuoso Rafael Mendez in his own even more florid version of the same song.
Thank you.
My next musical selections are two versions of the song Clavelitos by Valverde. We began this program with roses, we end with carnations. The opening line of the song is, "Carnations! To whom shall I give my carnations?" I think it probably sounds better in Spanish. Gerald Moore provides a typically rambunctious accompaniment to Victoria de Los Angeles.
Clavelitos, ¿a quién le doy claveles? Clavelitos, para churumbeles. Clavelitos, que los doy con los ojos cerrados y que traigo en el cesto a precio modesto rojos y pintados. Clavelitos, de la tierra morada. Clavelitos, que vienen de Granada. Clavelitos, que los traigo yo aquí para ti y que tienen la esencia, presencia y potencia que usted verá en mí. Clavelitos, que los traigo bonitos pa' mi novio. Reventón y chipé, porque tiene muchísimo quinqué para robar corazones y lloré y enseñarles la esencia, presencia y potencia que ya sabe usted. Si tú me quieres, mi niño cariño, yo te daré un clavelito bonito y verás que bien marchamos y estamos juntos en un rinconcito. Si tú me quieres, raro del alma, yo te quiero más a ti, mi cani, y todos los clavelitos bonitos, todos serán para ti. Si tú me quieres cerrado de la mano, yo te quiero más a ti, mi cañí. Y todos los clavelitos bonitos, todos serán para ti. Todos son para ti. Para ti, para ti, para ti.
Rafael Mendes has been an inspiration to all brass players after a brilliant career as a soloist and studio musician in the movie studios. His technique and articulation are pretty hard to beat, even by today's standards. Someone told me once a long time ago that Spanish speakers have an advantage over the rest of us when it comes to rapid articulation because the Spanish language is spoken so quickly. I'm not sure whether it's true, but Mendes makes a pretty good case for that argument. Thank you. the exoticism, eroticism, and pure joy of Spanish music has led composers as far apart as Bizet and Rimsky-Korsakov to write works based upon an idea of Spain that has become, if not a cliché, then at least a powerful image that is immediately apparent after hearing only a couple of bars. Just listen to a section from De Falla's quintessential Spanish ballet, The Three-Cornered Hat. Close your eyes, and you can still imagine the colorfully dressed dancers jostling in the wings, impatient to appear.
Thank you.
This has been a National Arts Center podcast produced in Ottawa by NAC New Media. Send us your comments and questions. Email us at nacpodcasts@gmail.com. Visit the podcast section of the iTunes store where you can rate and comment on this podcast. We love to hear from you. Remember, you can find more great NAC podcasts at nacpodcast.ca. Or search on National Arts Center on iTunes and subscribe for free. Until next time, goodbye from Canada's National Arts Center.